Welcome to House of Comments. I'm a slightly under the weather Charlotte Henry, and she is a slightly under the weather Emma Bunnell.
I am slightly under the weather, but so, less so than you.
Between the pair of
an official thing to prove it.
Yes, well, I slightly blame you, because when we did the COVID inquiry episode, you were like, oh, you've had it. I was like, oh, yeah, but not for ages. That the pissing dad did a test and it was positive. So I'm blaming you slightly.
I am to blame for all things.
Well, I've made that case before. Our listeners can decide. So, yeah, I'm very pleased to have you to talk to, because there's not much. Well, there's not all that much else to get on with for the next few days to me. So anyway, here we are. It was the autumn statement this week, which blew the doors off the place.
If the doors were feathers.
Right. There were two things in the autumn statement. The big things that caught the eye were the national insurance cuts, right? That was obviously meant to be the big...
The it being 2%, not 1%, was the rabbit out of the hat, right?
Yeah. So there was a cut, two different types of national insurance, the type your employer pays. So like that was down from 12 to 10. And that's coming in from January, I think. And then there's obviously a few tweaks to the self-employed kind of national insurance, which will save meaningful money in the hundreds of pounds. But the tax, this is my concern with this. Like, when you look at it, you're like, okay, that's good. I'm pleased. I think I'm going to get a little tax cut. Great. Thanks very much. But when you look at both the forecasts and the overall tax burden, nothing much is changing. And it's going to get, the data suggests the tax burden is going to be still be the highest ever. I think I saw the figure 37.7% at one point over the next couple of years. That is a huge tax burden that if it was a Labour government imposing that, not a Conservative Party going imposing that, the Conservatives would be going bananas from the opposition benches.
Absolutely. And they are confusing one day headlines with the way people feel. I'm not being funny, but I know the impact that tax policy has on a single person business.
Right.
And it just is hardcore.
And it's all slightly tweaking. Now, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, no, that's really annoying. You've cut my national insurance. Great. Thanks very much. But this is...
Thanks very much, except you're taxing me twice the amount in other places.
Sorry, can we just take a pause? And I'm going to clip this up. Emma Bunnell arguing for lower taxes.
No, I'm not arguing for lower taxes. I'm arguing for better taxes.
Very good answer. I like that. I like that. So I am arguing for lower taxes, as you won't be surprised to hear, because the tax...
Yeah, because you're basically a Tory.
Well, I mean, it depends what day of the week is. Depends who's annoying me on any certain day, frankly. I think my Lib Dem membership is still in existence. But it is too... The tax burden is huge. As I say, the Conservatives would be going mad if it was the other way around. And frankly, they're just
doing
not making
nothing with it. They're
and
doing
it's just not making an impact. And the problem is, I've read loads of newsletters this week from people. I've read all sorts of bits of analysis, and it all comes down to the same thing: no growth.
Yeah.
And that is despite,
and someone made it autonomy properly, you'll get growth.
Well,
when you're telling me badly, you have to keep talking about taxes.
And Jack, I believe it was Jack Kessler in the Evening Standard's daily email, made the point that people can bitch and moan about the level of immigration, but if we didn't have that, we might well be in recession.
Well, absolutely.
And this is...
All of the five pledges are completely... they don't make sense together.
Well, this goes back to the point you and I have made quite a few times of what is Rishi Sunakism. You know, there isn't a coherent picture, but they're obviously trying to look. I'm going to try and be a bit fair. They're obviously trying to start to build a narrative that they're starting.
I don't know how you say fair as if I'm unfair.
I'm going to try and be fair and be like, try and see if there's some positives here, because first of all, nice national insurance tax, but I'm not sure how much people are going to start to feel that. Because the thing people tend to feel, I think it's fair to say, is an income tax cut, right? That tends to make the biggest difference.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing that. That might be the pre-election rabbit out of the hat. But, we haven't seen that yet. The OBR forecasts are not looking great. We've got growth forecasts for the next 2 years were revised down to 0.7% in 2024 and 1.4% in 2025. That's hardly celebratory territory. So this is a real challenge. I don't, you know, it goes back to the point we talked about, can the Conservatives turn it around before an election? One of the big things people have talked about this week is this idea that Jeremy Hunt was setting up everything for a kind of May-ish election.
It did feel like a May election, didn't it?
Well, do you think so?
Yeah, I really did. It's like, we're going to make this happen in January. We're going to have an election before the, the votes start reanimating themselves, before any of the worst. But spring is a nice time to have an election if you're looking for optimism.
I guess so, and that's what it's going to all be about. But I don't know. I don't think things are going to have turned around enough by then.
Neither do I, but I think they think it might be more likely that they're turned around at that point than they have after a million people have had their mortgages reissued.
Yep.
That is the point before all of the terrible things they've done really kick in.
Explain.
As I say, a million people are going to have their mortgages reissued in May. We're all going to notice that our bills have gone up. We're all going to notice that, it may be summer, but for some reason, I'm paying an awful lot for my energy bills.
Well, we've seen the energy price cap. It was announced this week that that's going up a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they would be much better off having an election in May when we haven't quite noticed the impact of their decisions yet.
Well, I'll disagree with you slightly on that, because I think, one, people are noticing decisions the whole time. The argument always is that the longer you leave it, the better prospects there are. You might be able to keep getting people feel better in their pockets. You've explained why you think there'll be some issues with that. But if you're sitting in number 10, that's the argument you're making. We've got to do as much as we can to make it that people feel some benefits in their pocket. They've obviously got one more budget at least before an election, that they have to do an election, at least. They might be able to get, if depending on what they want, they might be able to get a budget and an autumn statement in. If they're really pushing it towards the end of the year. I think that, if I'm honest, is unlikely, just because suddenly you'd be getting into proper winter campaign territory. We've discussed before why one wants to do that. No.
Not happening.
One other thing that was quite a big feature of this autumn statement was The continuation of full expensing, which is a tax break that allows company to deduct spending on new machinery, equipment and profits. That's become permanent now. As I understand it, Rachel Reeves has said she's going to keep that as well if she becomes Chancellor.
That's so, nice. But what?
What do you mean what? That, I mean, it's made quite a big impact to businesses.
Not to most businesses that don't actually buy an awful lot of machinery.
Sure, but I think it was introduced in COVID and has been considered quite a big success across the board, hence why Labour have said they're going to keep it. The minimum wage is going to go up to £11.44 an hour and from April, and I believe it's going to apply to slightly younger people as well. I think you can get that.
Yes, 20... they've closed the 21. And
that's right. My question, I think, actually... is which bits are Labour going to impose? They're not going to bring the minimum wage down. Then said they're going to keep full expensing. I can't imagine they'll whack up national insurance again. What bits are Labour going to not keep of this autumn statement?
I suspect the inheritance tax part.
Explain that bit.
Just the bits where it's about richer people getting more money.
Such as?
Labour are trying to do this whole thing where they're like, look, we're trying to make the budget work. So an awful lot of the, for example, the national insurance thing.
No, but let's go back to inheritance. Inheritance tax wasn't a particular feature of this. There's been lots of talks about it. But there wasn't some slash in inheritance tax this time around.
There hasn't been inheritance, but it's going to be in the next manifesto.
That may well be right. Yeah, I think you probably
that's
are.
That's why
right.
I'm coming back to the national insurance thing. Mm. So national insurance, it's great for some people that national insurance is going down. But those some people are not the people who benefit from the things that national insurance pay for.
Well, national insurance tax is quite a significant benefit to those on the average range of about £35,000.
They benefit more from the investment in national inheritance tax?
National insurance tax.
National insurance tax than they do the actual cut to their wages. And that's the question.
Whose wages are being cut?
Not the cut. The cut to they're getting a little bit more money in their own pay pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the things that they need, rely on,
mm-hmm.
are getting a little bit less money. And we are in this country at talking about that trade-off.
Well, Jeremy Hunt was pretty clear that there will be no cut in the already proposed investment to the NHS on the back of the national insurance cut. He's very clear about that.
The investment in the national insurance was bad. It was low. It was lower than what was asked for. And also, like, do you trust a Tory when they tell you, oh, yeah.
Well, the numbers are there and the investment has been made. It's been so his statement was very clear that national insurance was not being cut but there was no alteration to the proposed, you know, the already set investment to the NHS.
National insurance has been cut. It's been cut by 2%.
Exactly. That's what was going to happen without it impacting the already decided investment in the NHS, which obviously tends That tends to be, obviously, at national insurance, that's the main thing it goes towards. He also made the point that he said he chose tax cuts are going to help businesses and not done his phrase, didn't choose crowd pleasers such as the inheritance tax or income tax cuts. So neither of those things have gone yet. Now, I suspect that's because he's trying to save the crowd pleasers for a budget next year in the run-up to an election.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Absolutely. Like, give a shit.
Well, I think you would be giving a shit if inheritance tax or income tax had been cut.
Yeah, but I mean, inheritance tax is literally the most Tory tax of all time. It's like, could you cut a way of asking very, very rich people to pay a little bit more towards the rest of us? And
that's not...
we really, really would like to stop doing that.
Well, I mean, there's all sorts of arguments about inheritance tax. We don't have to have them now because nothing has changed with that so far. I suspect, as I say, next year at the next budget, we will have to discuss it because I suspect there is going to be a cut next time around.
Yeah, and they'll throw it in with a lot of other things so we don't talk about it properly. Ultimately,
oh, no, I think it will be a huge piece of debate.
An incredibly small 4%, in fact, of the country pays inheritance tax.
Indeed.
And they pay it because actually we are a country that believes in solidarity.
Well, as I say, we'll have that debate if and when we need to. Let's just stick with what happened this week. So the Resolution Foundation, the think tank, they say that the share of tax as a share of GDP is going to rise 4.5 percentage points between 2019-20 and 2028-29. And that's going to be the highest level in 80 years. I do sincerely think that the Conservative Party have to sort this. I mean, you and I know that the backbench is already going mad about this. They're already very concerned about this. It is, you know, it is distinctly unconservative to have tax levels at this level. But I do go back to the question I asked you before, because we didn't quite get to the bottom of it. What would Labour change? So, for example, do you think under a Labour government that share, tax share to GDP ratio is going to be lower?
I don't know. But I do believe that it would be invested better.
Okay.
And honestly, that's my answer. That is honestly my answer. Whether we're taxing too much or too little is not really the best question. The question is, if we're taxing a lot, what are we getting for our money?
Yes, that's fair.
And I genuinely believe that a party that believes in a state being active will have a better answer to this is what I'm doing with your money.
Yes, maybe. But I think people still feel that in their pockets. Now, of course, this, of course, returns.
They feel it in their pockets, Charlotte, but honestly, I think there's a difference between I am feeling it in my pocket and the NHS doesn't work. And I am feeling it in my pocket, but I can totally go to the doctor when anytime I want to.
Well, I mean, this does go back to, I mean, I keep saying that because actually the autumn statement has sort of typified many of the good and bad things that we're dealing with at the moment. And the key thing is a sense, whether it's true or not, but the sense is certainly there that both people don't have that much financial wiggle room personally and stuff isn't working. That, I think that is indisputable.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we're 20 points ahead. The Tories have failed at all of the things they said they would do.
Such as what we talk about here.
Well, running the country well, delivering for the whole country, leveling up. Where did that go?
Yes, well, that was a very Boris Johnson type thing. And again, I think we are starting to see some twitchiness.
To be fair, the leader who won the election.
Sure. And I think, again, that's one of the things we're starting to see twitchiness about on the Conservative backbenches. That idea of levelling up. Certainly, we don't hear that phrase very much anymore.
No. And isn't that so telling?
Well, it may well be, yes. There's a couple of other things to wrap up from this autumn statement from the OBR. Who said that living standards are not going to return to pre-pandemic levels until 27, 28.
You should be.
And they also said that inflation is expected to, quote, remain higher for longer, might get to the 2% target in 2025, which is a year later than they forecast in May. So again, this is a very difficult financial backdrop for, well, any party to campaign on, any party of government to campaign on. Sorry, it's, great pickings for an opposition party, and we sort of see, however much they try to deny it, a slight little bit of glee in some sections of the Labour Party at some of these difficulties, I think. They try and sort of keep it under wraps, and I think probably at the leadership level, they are rather more
How are
dignified.
the Lib Dems doing with it?
Oh, I didn't pick up anything from the Lib Dems on it. I don't know if that's relevant.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're going to talk about opposition parties,
Yeah.
you have to look at where the Lib Dems are going. You're all terrible. We might go into government with you.
Possibly with the Labour Party, although Sir Ed Davey is kind of very twitchy when anyone asks that question, which is a whole other thing in itself. It's quite interesting, those interviews. It's very, very different to the time when a few years ago I asked Jo Swinson if she wanted to be Prime Minister. She said yes. Actually, Sir Ed Davey told me the same thing. But anyway, those were very different days. Actually, I have quite a lot to say on. I know a bit about what the Lib Dems are up to at the moment. We can talk about that on a different week because it's quite interesting. The strategies that they are pursuing to try and get the most bang for their buck as we head towards the election. But we can talk about that anyway. But yes, I do think it's a very difficult environment for a party of government to be campaigning in. This has been yet another opportunity for the Conservative Party to try and make a big turnaround impact. I'm not sure they've quite grasped. Now, January, February, March, when the national insurance tax cuts come in, maybe everyone will feel a little bit better. But at this moment, sitting in November, where they've just done the autumn statement, you texted me, didn't you, in the week calling it a damp squib. And I just don't think these big set piece events are not making the impact the government need.
Yeah, fair.
And I don't quite know how first of all, they're running out of them.
They have fewer and fewer left, and each one is not moving the polls, and they are in danger, I think, of just running out of time, running out of energy, running out of things to say.
Yes. And I do think there's only so many times you can say, oh, we're being responsible, we're being this, we're being that. I'm not doing the crowd pleasers, I'm making the right decisions, not the easy decisions. All of that stuff. I think there are only so many times you can say that.
No, absolutely. And only so many times you can go, so I'm totally responsible, and I'm responsible for this. And the this is the problem.
Yeah, I mean, that always happens with a government. I mean, they ultimately are responsible. That's the point of being in government.
Yeah. They fucked up. We have a terrible economy.
Well, I mean, quite a bit load of big things have happened in the world as well, which have not helped.
They fucked up. We have a terrible economy.
So
That's
you don't think
how
the
people vote in UK elections. I'm sorry, that's how people vote.
Oh, that I agree with you on. But I agree with you that people going to the polls are not going to take the pandemic, the war in Ukraine, even the situation in the Middle East into consideration. I agree with you entirely on that. But I think as people who are analysing politics, we do have to acknowledge those things have had an impact.
We do, voters don't.
Yeah,
And
that's what I'm saying.
ultimately, we are here to service voters.
Yes, but yes, but you, so you don't think the economy would be better if the war in Ukraine hadn't happened, for example?
I think an awful lot of the problems with the economy were actually started in 2011. I think that David Cameron is responsible for the reasons that we had a pared to the bone NHS. Austerity, let's do as little as possible and pay for as little as possible. That's austerity. That's David Cameron. It's not, in fact, Boris Johnson. It's not, in fact, even Liz Truss.
Well, yeah, Liz Truss is 5 minutes in power, yeah.
It's the root of what is wrong with conservatism came from David Cameron.
Well, I should, well, we should make the point that the British economy has basically flatlined for 15 years.
Yeah, since 2008, when we tried initially to respond to it well, and then we didn't.
Respond to what? Well, what are you referring to?
To the global
Financial crisis, yeah.
financial crisis.
Sure. So, again, that's another big world event that's had a very bad effect on the British economy. And it wasn't the Conservative Party in power then.
So the Labour Party in power really tried to put things in, and they did, and they genuinely restabilised the British economy. And then the Tory Party went, "Oh, let's do something different."
Well, I mean,
And your lot went, "Yeah, that's quite nice. Let's be the nice middle class party."
okay. And obviously Gordon Brown was in power in 2008, which is when a lot of these problems happened. You're absolutely right. It was a big global problem. Actually, Gordon Brown did receive quite a lot of credit in some parts of society. Well, sorry, not society, in the world for his leadership and what he tried to do in 2008. I'm not going to dismiss that, but my wider point is that there is a general stagnation within the British economy that nobody of any party, any spectrum within a political party seems to have been able to shake off.
Yes, there is. To be honest, I'm not that keen on the very, very tepid, I suppose, policies that is Securenomics, is Rachel Reeves stuff.
Yes. And Joe Biden, they very similar types of phrasing and language they both use.
I mean, Joe Biden has done extraordinary things in America. For America.
Right.
What worries
That's the
me
very key part of that.
is the for America, exactly. We used to be much, 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 much better at leading out things and not following America, who was always stuck in a rut. And it worries me that we aren't now.
Well, as you say, Rachel Reeves has done a lot of talking about that phrase, Securenomics, and I think we'll definitely be diving into that. Well, I think for something that was so tepid, we've got quite a lot out of that autumn statement. Because I do think it typifies quite a lot of what's going on at the moment, British politics. There's a couple of things to wrap up from last week. First of all, we joked that David Cameron, now Lord Cameron, had been made a baron of the whole UK.
Which was the line at the time?
It was correct at the time. as ever, as soon as we stop recording, someone does us over. And it was announced shortly after we recorded that he is now Lord Cameron of course, Chipping Norton. Naturally. So that's that done. I did forget to discuss the most important thing from the reshuffle day. And I'm shocked at myself for it. So I must apologise and go back to it, which is that the official Conservative Party Twitter account on that day ran the whole day as if it was football's transfer deadline day. And frankly, I was here for it. We had
no idea what you were talking about on the account.
So basically they did things like, so the first one was obviously David Cameron, to which we had, he's back, as in a kind of grand player loaning. Well, quite. And then we had the most, I think the best one was the education secretary. We got a, here we go. And they did the whole day as if it was transfer deadline day. So well played to Conservative.
Here we go.
Played to
education secretary.
Oh, it's what's her name?
That one.
So fair play to the Conservative Party social media department. I'm sorry, we're going to have to wrap up on a couple of more unpleasant things. And I want to actually dive into one of your social media postings, Geert Wilders won the elections in the Netherlands. On a populist...
He got 25% of the vote, but he did in a PR election. Maybe we should think about how we think those are huge, big, progressive things.
Yes, but I look forward to our debate on electoral reform another time, but he is won the election on the terms at which they have them, on a populist, anti-Islam, very dangerous, I would say, platform. And you said, and I think this is really interesting, you said we on the left need to keep thinking about why we keep losing to these people.
Absolutely.
Have you got an answer, Emma Bunnell?
Do I have an answer? If I had the answer, Charlotte, I would be better paid, better... I wouldn't be doing this podcast.
Hey! Hey!
I would also be doing this podcast in addition to all the other things that paid me so much better.
But it's a very serious point you make. And I don't actually think it only applies to the left. I understand why you asked it of the left, and you're quite right to.
I ask it of the left because I'm on the left.
Quite.
Losing to populist idiots. And we keep calling them populist idiots.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like other people go, I kind of agree with some of what he says.
But I think those on the centre-right need to consider how those more to the right than them keep infiltrating their parties and systems. I think the sort of centre, whatever that means, needs to think with some stridency about how they tackle these people. And your point's on the right. And I think, I fear we're going to have to talk about it during our general election campaign. We're definitely going to have to talk about it in the US presidential campaign.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is a very serious thing that politicians within the centre of the spectrum have to take seriously, because these people keep winning.
Yeah, and...
Meloni in Italy, now Geert Wilders.
We have spent, frankly, most of my lifetime denigrating politics.
Yes, yes.
And then we get really surprised when anti-politics people get elected.
Could not agree with you more. We're recording this after a night of a lot of disturbances in Dublin as well, which was very concerning to see. We don't know all that much at this stage, but it's worth keeping its eye on our very close neighbour as well.
Absolutely. Sending love and just...
Very worrying scenes in Dublin last night. Hopefully it sort of calms down over the weekend, although I fear we may not be so lucky. Right. We've made it on a rather strange week in politics. We've made it to the end. Where can people keep up with you, Emma?
You can see me on my a newsletter at A Hard Thinking on the Self Left on Substack. Various social media accounts as Emma Bunnell or Emma Bunnell _. And other than that, it'd be quite nice if you just bought me a pint in the pub.
Always pleasant. Head over, talking of buying us pints in the pub, head over to patreon.com/House of Comments Podcast because you can get both of our newsletters.
Oh, yes, do that. Do that far more than sign up to my newsletter.
Well, if you do that, we get both of our newsletters. It's about 60 quid a year, about £6-7 a month, something like a bit less, fiver. And we'd love to have you there. We're going to start releasing extra audio content as well, probably in the new year, I would think now. So we would love to have you on board there. I'm at Charlotte A. Henry across social media, and you can head over to theaddition.net to get more from me as well. We're at HSC Podcast on Twitter for now, and we'd love to hear from you. So thanks very much, and we'll see you next week.